That's what we do every day on the Morning Munch, is we get into God's Word to give you some spiritual nourishment to get your day started right. And so, Tim, we're going to turn things over to you and let you share what God's laid on your heart this morning.
I'm going to read out of Luke, one of the parables Jesus shares, the parable of tax collector and the Pharisee. So Luke 18, beginning with verse 9, then Jesus told this story to some who had a great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. And he said this, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like other people. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to the sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So a couple of things here, Tommy. First and foremost, it's never enough to be right. You know this. You're married, right, Tommy?
I am married, yes.
Does it ever work out well to know you're right and to push that agenda? It's never worked out well for me.
It usually not, no.
I mean, I don't know why we don't get this with relationships. I mean, I'm still learning. I'm going on 19 years, and I'm still learning this lesson in my marriage. But, you know, all kidding aside, not just in marriages, in any relationship. It's never enough just to be right. Because being right means you have an agenda. You want to either try to convince the other person that you're right. You want to persuade them. You're trying to accomplish something other than understanding. And which understanding is key. And so being right is never a good idea to focus on that. This Pharisee certainly was right. Like, he did the right thing. The point of this parable isn't like, yes, you should sin a bunch like this sinner. You know, don't fast, don't pray, don't tithe, you know, don't give. You know, just be a sinner. And then God's like, yeah, that's the people that I'm going to justify and prefer and I like. You know, the point is that the Pharisee was boasting about it, right? He was trying to wear all the things that he did right like a badge. And as if somehow he was better than this other guy. And as if somehow God would just skip over all of his issues. Because, you know, he had issues, because we all do. And so, you know, God's just going to gloss over his pride, obviously, that he's struggling with. Because comparing himself to this guy, you know, yeah, he's better. Bad idea to compare. Bad idea to focus on being right. The other thing I think is kind of interesting here is where I know I'm going to get some haters, and I already have some, but that is, it says that he stood by himself and prayed out loud. And as I was reading this, it just kind of occurred to me that it really reminded me of social media. Now, you're safe. You're at a safe distance. You're by yourself, and you kind of just broadcast how right you are, how wrong everyone else is. No one can really come at you. I mean, they can, with words, we can go back and forth and have an exchange on Facebook or on Instagram or on Twitter, but it's pretty safe. And so he's trying to build his righteousness up in his platform, of course, being right, and then just shame others. And I fall into this trap, too. I'm not saying, you know, I'm perfect on social media, but I'm amazed that, you know, I do it too. Like I said, we're trying to change people's minds and opinions from a safe distance where no one can really have an actual relationship. It's fake. It's phony. It's not real. And you're not going to make an impact. I've yet to hear a testimony where someone said, I got in an argument with someone on, you know, on Facebook or, you know, on a YouTube comment thread, and suddenly they, like, came to Jesus. They had a come-to-Jesus moment. Or we became great friends. or we, you know, we were debating politics on social media, and somehow, like, I persuaded the other person who's a lifelong, you know, Republican to become a Democrat. I mean, I just don't think it works. As a matter of fact, I think it actually furthers the gap. Not only do I think it has a positive impact, I've given up on that idea. I honestly think it might actually have more of a detrimental impact to continually shame others at that safe distance. It only drives a wedge in relationships, I honestly think. And lastly, God is looking for those who are humble. We need to constantly recognize we don't have all the answers. Yes, we, you know, just coming out of the political season. Yeah, we have opinions, and yeah, we have even biblical stances and things that we want to take a stand on, but we don't have all the answers. Only God does. I mean, that's what God's showing us here, is that we need to humble ourselves. Instead of looking around, comparing ourselves to others, trying to be right, we need to come before God continually and say, Lord, search my heart. Where's my flaws? Help me. Build me up. I confess I'm falling short in these areas. I think that the older and more mature we get in following Jesus, the less we should claim to know. You see that in the life of Paul, right, Tommy? Mm-hmm. I mean, chief of all Hebrews, chief of all Pharisees, later in life, chief of all sinners. He got more and more humble as he went on in his walk with Christ. So let's just focus on how we can be a better ambassador of Jesus and not look at other people's opinions that might differ with ours, or other people's lack of holiness or righteousness or whatever we want to cloud it as. Those are dead ends. It doesn't work. Trust me. Been there, tried that, done that. It doesn't work.
That's a good word for us, Tim. Would you go ahead and pray for our listeners this morning?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that first and foremost, Lord, that you are so, so forgiving. God, you are the one that justifies us. We don't justify ourselves by our actions, by our good deeds. Lord, we don't justify ourselves in any other way than by humbly coming before you. And by your grace, Lord, God, you make us just. God, you wash away our sins. And Lord, I just confess mine, Lord. I pray that listeners are coming before you right now, just humbly, just with an open heart, Lord. They humble their hearts before you and say, we're falling short. God, we need your grace. We need your mercy. God, we need your help. And so, Lord, help us walk in our lives on this earth the way that you walked in your life, Lord, that we would be bold. Yes, we would stand up for righteousness and truth. But Lord, ultimately, it would be our love and our grace, God, that would draw people, not to us, Lord, not to an agenda, but to you, God. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Tim Rabauer joining us from Ohio Living. And tell us about Ohio Living.
So Ohio Living, home health and hospice of Greater Toledo, service people who are really just in a position with health issues and things where they don't really want to go in and out of the hospital, especially now with COVID. They don't want to go in and out of rehab centers, but they can have healthcare right in their own home. And I am our chaplain for our hospice division, where it's just an awesome opportunity to get a chance to develop relationships with our patients and our families. And, you know, contrary to popular belief, Tommy, you know, hospice isn't, you know, you've got 3 days or less or a week or less. We have, you know, patients that have been on our service for years who still qualify for hospice benefit. They get a whole team of people to help them as they face, you know, end of life, and they face what that looks like when they finally, you know, just kind of not given up, but they've kind of said, you know, I'm done with aggressive treatment. And I'm putting all this in the hands of God. And the lead chaplain for our hospice division, and something we're really excited about now, is now that we're really seeing a light at the end of the tunnel from COVID, is we're hoping to get that behind us in the rearview mirror and be able to do some more services that we have available that we've kind of had to put on pause with COVID. One of those being volunteering. We rely a lot on volunteers just for companionship. Some people are really lonely, especially now, even more so. And so we have opportunities to volunteer in a whole sort of different ways, you know, mainly, like I said, just companionship, just being someone that's a friendly visitor, someone that can sit and talk with patients and help families and caregivers out too. Most of our patients are in homes. People think hospice is a place, but it's not. It's a philosophy of care. So a lot of our patients, 80% or so, are just living at home with other family members or friends that are caregiving for them. And so sometimes volunteers can help just with that by helping with housework, running errands, with that. So hoping that we can get past this and we can start opening back up to help our families.
And once again, if folks want to find out more information, where can they go?
They give us a phone call. If you're really looking for more information on a loved one or a family member or how you can join and be a part of it, 419-865-1499.
Tim, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for the word this morning.
You bet. Thanks, Tommy. Have a good one.
That's Tim Rabara from Ohio Living sharing with us on the Morning Munch.